Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Brian, it is now time for our favorite part of the show. It is our Twitter mailbag. But before we get into that, in our Twitter mailbag this week, we had a request from RealJC89. He says, no question today. Just asking for a birthday shout out on today's episode. So happy birthday to you. And happy birthday to our producer, Peyton Russell, who is also celebrating a birthday. Peyton has never been alive for a Cowboys Super Bowl. He was born 9 months after the last one. So we're desperately rooting for a Super Bowl victory for Peyton. I think win it for Peyton needs to be our hashtag.
Yeah.
That needs to be what we do. But until we can win him a Super Bowl, you know what we need to do for Peyton?
What's that?
We need to treat him to a night at Boomer Jacks, I think.
Oh, I tell you what, he would love a night at Boomer Jacks with all the TVs, the great food, the menu, perfect, the drinks. He would absolutely – great place to have a celebration.
Exactly. Birthday drinks, you're doing happy hour, you're just looking for family night, whatever you're doing, Boomer Jacks, perfect. Like Brian says, wall-to-wall TVs, they've got live music. Any game, any sport that you want to watch, it's up there. It's on the TV. And in this era of inflation and heavy spending for everybody, it's nice to get something that's still reasonably priced.
Absolutely.
Great time. 17 DFW locations, so there is one definitely near you in the Dallas area within driving distance. So you can check yours out. Find yours at boomerjacks.com. Brian, you ready for a couple questions here?
Shoot.
First one from Rafa Gomez. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And I know this is one that Ambar Garcia also kind of mentioned on Cowboys Break.
That was today?
Yeah.
That was interesting. Yeah.
He says, if Cooper Rush is undefeated by the time Dak is healthy, does he keep his starting job?
Yeah.
Brian, I'll just say it off the top. I'll give my reasoning why. He absolutely keeps his starting job, but what are your thoughts?
No, I think so too. And, you know, Ambar, AG, I love when she brings
think
up
outside
stuff.
The box, man.
Yeah, think outside the box. And Derek Eagleton on the same show on Cowboys Break said, listen, the reason why you had an 11-game winning streak with Dak, but you were also Tony Romo was near the end.
Yep.
And so you were looking for – the Cowboys were looking for that transition to move on from Tony Romo. And Dak Prescott, lightning in a bottle, whatever you want to call it, Wade Wilson, he gets Dak on the board. They get him drafted. He has some really good preseason games. He wins the job, and next thing you win 11 straight games. And so they went the right direction there. Even the veteran guys were all totally on board with Dak Prescott. I'm talking like the Dez Bryants and the Jason Wittens and guys like that.
I think that's an important thing for people to understand. For those who still hold on to the Romo never should have been replaced, you got to understand that entire locker room was on board with
they
Dak
were on
Prescott
board with Dak
your starter.
And so, I think that I would not – if they got through – say they got through the Rams game and they were 4-1.
Yep.
I still think if Dak was available for Philadelphia, every win – though, let's be honest, though, here, too.
Yeah.
Every win that they get, Cincinnati say – so you get a Giants win and you get a Commanders win, that just buys you more time with for Dak to get healthy.
Yeah, now I will say it puts more pressure on him to perform when he gets back.
Absolutely.
I don't think it puts his job in jeopardy this year. But if he then struggles when he gets back, then at the end of the year and they're looking at evaluation, I don't necessarily know that it gives Cooper Rush the job, but it does make them go, well, other people are having success in here. What's going on with our quarterback? Something's not right here.
We need, and
I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think he's going to come back, and I think he's going
to
play well.
You know what I'd like to see, and man, I just don't have the time. I'm being honest. I don't have the time to sit down and watch. I mean, I watch the tape, but I'd like to know. I'd love for Kurt Warner or one of these guys, these quarterback guys, to sit down and watch.
DiNucci.
Yeah. Sit down and watch. Okay, offense with Dak, offense with Cooper Rush. Maybe get a little bit more sample size. And if Cooper, you know, has some success this week, okay, are they doing something schematically different than with Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush in these games? And is it something that maybe if Cooper Rush is having success, is it something that they need to maybe incorporate more into what the Dak Prescott's
game? Well, and the other part of that question, not just is it something is it not something that just the Cowboys are doing different schematically, but is it something the opponents are also different doing?
Schematically, yes.
Now, I did notice there is one thing that stayed consistent, at least I noticed against Cincinnati. They're still liking to hit those PA boots.
Yeah.
They like to get that. Yep. That stayed in the equation there.
Absolutely.
Question here from Greg Bailey. He says, I've heard Kellen Moore say on several occasions that all teams run basically the same plays. How much truth is there to that? If so, where does the nuance come from? Is it in the disguise or in finding the vulnerable matchups? I think when Kellen Moore says that, he's talking more about route concepts. Like, you've got a route tree, and there's, you know, so many combinations that teams use, especially based on, you know, formation, where you're at on the hash, where you're at on the field. Like, in that sense, yes, that's true, but obviously there's more nuance to that. But Brian, if you want to speak to that, where do you think comes from?
And
where do you, is it in the disguise or is it in finding the vulnerable matchups?
I think it's about the matchups. I think a lot of coaches, I know for sure Dan Quinn, look what Dan Quinn's done defensively for the Cowboys. He's found matchups, whether it was Lyle Collins or Jonah Williams or what was going on inside for the Bengals. You know, he was looking for matchups in order to have success. And I think when you're talking about running the same place, you're right about the route concepts and things like that. The creativity comes in how you call them. And I'll give you an example. The other day on the final drive, on the first down play when they threw the ball to CeeDee Lamb, they ran a stack formation and they pivoted CeeDee Lamb behind Dalton Schultz coming off the line. They pivot him, and Schultz ended up really kind of blocking not only the CeeDee's man, but his own man. So the ball, I mean, now the ball goes to CeeDee, and it gets like a 9-yard gain because some creativity. That, you know, yeah, the running plays, the counters and things like that, you know, running the ball middle, sure. Zone stretch, inside zone, outside zones, gap scheme, whatever. That's all pretty much the same. But that's where the creativity comes in. The guys that are able to create, and the Bengals did it, you know, with their own thing. They created some picks too. They had some drops. How many drops did the Bengals have running in the middle of the, you know, the Dallas defense?
I remember they hit Diggs on a rub route on a third down with Chase, and he picked up the first down.
So that's where your creativity comes in. That's when it's like, okay, this is our way of getting our guys free, you know. And like I said, great job by Cooper finding Lamb, but also the design of him behind a Schultz pick.
Next question here from Joshua. He says, with Schultz out for Monday Night Football, not certain. By the way, it is not certain that he's out. Yeah. I think that if you were to ask me today, I'm guessing he probably would miss, but it does sound like that'll be it.
They got an extra day.
Sounds like that'll be it. They do have an extra day. They do have a tight end on the practice squad, Sean McEwen.
Right.
But he says, will the Cowboys activate Tolbert and use less 12 personnel? I mean, as it stands now, unless you call up McEwen, you just have Hendershot and Ferguson.
Right.
But Ferguson's done a really nice job, I think, blocking. Hendershot allows them.
Hendershot on the one-yard touchdown run got in a fight, basically. Like, the whistle had blown, and he was still blocking. Matter of fact, the ball, I've said this when you watch the tape, Cooper Rush was throwing the ball to Hendershot on the drag. The ball deflected and went to Noah Brown.
Yeah.
You look at Cooper Rush's eyes, he's hitting the drag underneath the Hendershot that got tipped. So Hendershot would have caught that ball likely and it went up the sideline and field goal range and all that. But yeah, let's see what they used Luke Gifford too the other day as a fullback.
Yeah.
So maybe you play with the two tight ends and then you have Luke Gifford as that extra guy that you need in the game. Or maybe this is an opportunity to use one of the offensive linemen, you know, that are dressing for the game. That used, you know, Willetsko or one of those guys.
Well, and typically, I think a big reason why Gifford's probably doing it right now, you and I saw that with McGovern in at left guard, they were running Farniak as the fullback in training camp.
Right.
Now Farniak's doing that, so they're having to find some different creativity. I will say, I think that I'm excited to see how – I think Ferguson and Schultz are similar tight ends, to be honest. I think Hendershot's got a little bit more of a vertical capacity, and so – one of the things that, you know, we talk about teams running the same route concepts and things like that. I know one of the things that when you have two tight ends, one of the benefits when you've got a more athletic seam one or you've got one that's a little more of Jason Witten type is that you can run those different concepts. You can have Ferguson, for instance, running that Y option, which is, you know, either you're doing the little curl or you're going inside, outside, depending on what look you're getting. And then with somebody like Hendershot, all right, you've got the, you know, you got him reading the safeties. He can either run up the seam if it's cover one, if it's cover two, he can bend it to a post. And so they're going to be able to run some, I know McCarthy's not a huge fan of option routes, but everybody tends to run them with the tight ends because of
Kellen
what the
Moore runs
are.
Them a lot more than what Mike McCarthy would.
Kellen's a bigger fan of them.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those of you that were angry about it 5 years ago, it's one of the reasons why Dez Bryant ended up getting moved on from. He was never a big option route guy, didn't like running those. But ultimately, I think that I'll be really interested to see Hendershot and Ferguson, if they are paired together, what kind of route concepts they're running together, because I think you could see some different things. Next question here from Jake. Any updates on Jabril Cox? Curious why back-to-back inactive tags ramp up from the injury. Man, they have handled that injury a little weird.
I think that he's still a little banged up.
I think he's banged up. He has not taken the brace off.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with somebody. I don't want to say who because I don't want to necessarily out who they, you know, what their thoughts were on this. But I was having a conversation with somebody at practice, and I was like, man, we got to figure out this Jabril Cox thing. And this person I was talking to said, part of me just goes like, at the end of the day, he is still a fourth-round linebacker, though. And you have Anthony Barr now, and you've got Leighton Vander. Like, what's the need to even have – even if he's fully healthy, does Jabril Cox have to be active? Like, is that a guy you need on your – I don't know that you do. And when I thought about it like that, it's like, man, maybe that is why they're taking such a conservative approach. It's not the receiver position where you need Gallup back.
Yeah, but you know, we like the Oklahoma State kid.
Devin Harper, yeah.
We like Harper, but wouldn't you like to see Cox be active instead of Harper? I think I would.
I think so. I'd rather see, honestly.
I had someone tell me Damone Clark, the LSU kid, the other LSU linebacker, maybe sooner than later on him.
I need to check with a source on something, but I've got some interesting stuff on Damone Clark. I need to make sure I can talk about it on the air. We'll talk about that Friday.
Sounds good.
Next question here from our buddy Stevie J. He's asking, Peters plugged right into the Bears lineup last season. Why is this ramp-up period taking longer than we initially expected? What are the chances he plays Monday? So Peters was in there week one, but it's important to remember Peters signed August 16th, I think, and then they played September. It was a month ramp-up still.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so I think it is a similar ramp-up.
Conditioning is the only thing going on with him right now. That's what I was told. Because I asked about him, and I was talking with some people in the organization. They said the only thing holding him back right now is conditioning, and it's not there yet. That's a 40-year-old man trying to get ready.
It takes some time. And look,
he's working out though. I've been walking. You know, I walk from the studio after Cowboys break.
He's got a helmet on. He's sweating.
I see him out there, and I see him working with Britt Brown, and I see him working with others. And so, yeah, he's trying. He's trying to get back.
So I think we do see him sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I do too.
If it's not this week, I think he's probably ready week four.
Yeah.
Next question here from David Miller. What's the biggest reason the offense is not scoring much? Quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, play calling, what is it? Obviously, first game there were a lot of issues. I think everybody was bad, to be honest. And then this past week, you obviously are working without your quarterback. You're still waiting for your receiver to get back. I think it's just a matter of health and trying to find cohesion on that offensive line, getting your quarterback back, I think then things will settle down a little bit. But the other thing, honestly, is this offense, this personnel, this isn't Team 40 Burger.
No.
Like, this is not going to be the team that's going to do that.
Not because you don't have the offensive line. And it's going to be – there's going to be growing pains. They're going to miss blocks. They're going to – it's going to be a struggle. You know, with the quarterback was a struggle. I'm going to give you – you know, the whole thing, too, Cooper Rush, I thought, played very, very well. He took a lot of hits in that game.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, get rid of the ball, then get hit. Get rid of the ball, then get hit. You know, it wasn't clean for him. It wasn't as clean as it needed to be, but I thought he stepped up and did a nice job. But a lot of it has to do with the offensive line.
Do you feel like, real quick question on Cooper Rush after you watch the film back, do you feel like he's got to keep his throws in the middle of the field? I feel like when he's throwing to the sideline, he's short hopping them.
I tell you what, it's a little bit like it takes a little bit like a
I don't
little,
know if there's a depth perception thing
hump
for
to
him
the
or
ball,
something.
Yeah,
because yeah, there were a couple times it was a ball at the feet
but
or right
the,
in front of
the
him.
The ball he threw down the sideline when it was coming at us from the press box seat to CeeDee Lamb, the deep shot that they took, if he throws that ball a little bit more, now, there was some throw the ball to the outside and you'd probably be okay there. Don't let the defender get it. That's one of those balls, if you threw it a little bit to the inside, it would have been a touchdown, or it would have been a huge play to CeeDee Lamb. I think he throws a pretty good deep ball.
I think he's fine there. I think my
but you're right.
My
the stuff to the outside.
The 12-yard out route, I'm worried.
It seemed like interceptionsville.
That's what I'm worried. And there were two or three times he threw something into the flat where it was at the feet, and it was just nowhere close. And so I don't know what it is. Just something about throwing to the sideline it seems to be a little bit of a struggle for him. Last question here from Cairo, and staying on this offensive line discussion, which we just referenced there. How much better do you guys feel about the offensive line compared to a month ago, if you feel better at all? I think given where the personnel is and you lose your left guard and you weren't expecting that, I think I will give them a passing grade for the expectation right now. I don't think they've killed you yet.
I think if McGovern was playing the left guard, I'd feel even better.
Sure.
But, I mean, Tyler Smith has done an
They're battling. They're all battling.
They are battling. There's some limitations there.
Yeah.
But it's not killing them quite yet, and hopefully it won't kill them.
That does it here for us. I think we're going to be doing something a little bit different for you guys on Friday. I think we're going to – Brian and I have talked about this. If you like this segment, getting your questions answered, I think Brian and I are going to take a whole episode out.
Because we got a Monday night game.
Because we got a Monday night game. So Monday morning will be the preview show, really.
Yeah.
We don't want to hit you with four straight days of Giants talk. So I think we're going to do an all mailbag episode. So if you want to get your questions in, hit us up on Twitter. You can email me, bobby.belt@odyssey.com. We'll take your questions in any format. I think we'll tackle it. And then Monday, we'll really ramp up preview time for this Giants team and hopefully know more about Dalton Schultz's health, Michael Gallup, where Jason Peters is at, and have some of those answers for you guys then. Until Friday, we will talk to you guys later.